here in the house of God. You know, I want to talk this morning, and the title is 3 Days in Hades. Some people could say Sheol, but the thing is, I want to talk to you about what Jesus did for 3 days. And I feel it's significant to understand the resurrection even more. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, pretty much tells us a glimpse into what Jesus did. Matthew 12, 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Heavenly Father, we pray for a banquet this morning and an increased understanding of what happened before the tomb was empty. Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, this is pretty profound if you think about it. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to talk to you about what's going to happen to me. And I'm going to use the prophet Jonah. Now, that's really kind of strange to me. Why he would use the prophet Jonah when he rebelled and ran from God. But Jesus chose these words carefully to make a point for us. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, there were 3 things that were very similar to what happened to Jesus. Number one, the whale's belly was a place of confinement. Jesus was saying, I'm going to go for 3 days in a place where I'm totally confined. I can't get out myself. Second thing, it's going to be a position of utter dependence upon God. And the third thing is going to be a prolonged purpose to be fulfilled. Jesus said he's going to be there in the heart of the earth. Now, all people upon death, before Christ's resurrection, went to Hades. And in Hades, the place of the dead, there were 2 major compartments. There was paradise for the righteous who had died, and then there was the place of Sheol, of death, where the unrighteous were. There's no question that hell is in the center of the earth. Jesus just confirmed it here. But I have 3 questions I want to talk about. Number one, why did he go there? Why did he just stay in the tomb and sleep? Number two, what did he do there? And number three, who did he talk to? Now, the whale's belly was God's judgment on Jonah. Jesus had to go to the place of the dead and see both the righteous and the unrighteous. There was a gulf fixed between them. For 3 days, Jesus was confined to the heart of the earth. For 3 days and nights, he had to walk by the millions and millions of souls who have been damned. Souls crying out. Souls in pain and torment. He had to see them. And I guarantee you he wasn't watching, he wasn't seeing like, oh, they deserve it, because he wept over Jerusalem before judgment. So he was confined there. And he had to see all those the prophets had spoken to, all those that had chances to get right with God, but now they're sealed in judgment. He had to see. And then he had to go to the righteous. And he beheld those that were in a holy place. They couldn't yet ascend to heaven because Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. And as he walked, I'm sure he saw all Abraham. He saw Isaac and Jacob. Noah, all the patriarchs he saw. Esther and Ruth, all of those waiting there for him. Maybe he walked over to Moses. Moses, you wrote about the seed of the woman. Moses, you were the deliverer. Have you ever thought about what you can do for 3 days and three nights? Have you ever thought about, did he talk to people in sections? Did he? He didn't rest. He wasn't at the Holiday Inn. But he had a purpose there. And the biggest purpose was he had to stay there till God raised him up. Can you imagine being one of those who were in judgment and seeing the Christ walk through those chambers of judgment? Could you imagine the righteous as they saw the promised Messiah walking up and down in paradise? Let's talk about why he went there. Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Wow. He descended. Because even though the righteous were in judgment, they were still captive. In paradise, they could not go to heaven. He descended first to fulfill all things. When he ascended, he went and took his blood in an open heaven. But 3 days, three nights, in a place that he said it'd be like the belly of the whale that Jonah experienced. Interesting. There was crying from that belly. Jonah says, I cried unto thee out of Sheol. I cried unto thee. Jesus experienced the crying and the torment of those who have no hope. His heart, I'm sure, was just as broken. That there was no hope for them. There's nothing he could do. There's no coming back. He could not save them. They had made their choice. And so as he's going day and night, the Father knew the moment to bring him up. He went there. The why is because he had to fulfill all things. He had to become like his brethren, Hebrews 6. He had to experience death. Not just his heart stopping, but death, spiritual death, which is what? Separation from God. He had to actually go there. He was confined there. He couldn't say, you know what, God, I've been here 12 hours, I'm out of here. He had to stay. What trust he had in his Father. Now Peter says this, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has suffered once, suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Wow. which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now, most commentaries believe the word prison there is not like the prison of judgment, but rather a holding place. Most commentaries believe this is talking about Jesus preaching to the righteous that he has fulfilled all things. So Peter says he went there and he preached to those who, even though they were confined like Noah in the ark, yet he gave them the word of deliverance. He said, you know what? The time has come. It's time for you to go out of this place into the heavens. Give God a praise, somebody, would you? You see, as he was there the first day and the second day and the third day, and he's seen the millions and millions of people in torment and agony. He's seen the joy of the righteous. He's seen it all. But you know, David said this, Psalm 16:10, for you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You're not going to keep my soul in hell, God. You're going to get me out of here. Most of the sermons and preaching I've heard about the resurrection, we scarcely give any thought to these 3 days. But these 3 days are very significant. It was establishing the reality, not only that there is a judgment, but the reality, if I know Christ, I will not go into judgment. Amen. It establishes the reality that Jesus didn't short-circuit the plan, that he actually went there and beheld the darkness, beheld the demons, beheld the angels that were cast down, that were chained in the halls. He went down and saw all that we cannot see with our natural eyes, yet he saw it and he came back. You're not going to leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You see, 3 days and 3 nights, it's also symbolic of the place you and I don't have to go. And on this day, this Resurrection Sunday, I ask a question. Those that have awoke this morning, those that have gotten out of their beds, those that have kind of allowed the meaning of the resurrection to kind of fade away and kind of just put it in the same category as Easter bunnies and chocolate and colored eggs. If I'm concerned about anything in this hour about this, it's the cultural influence of the world to take away from this mighty, powerful act of God. Give it somehow just a mental consent to a historical fact is enough to save me. The devils believe God. It's an acceptance. It's a proclamation of my spirit that Jesus went to hell for me, that I don't have to go there. You see, Paul said, if there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain. In fact, he said this in 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if he's not risen, our preaching is in vain. Imagine that. He said, y'all, wait, you preachers, y'all wasted your time. We didn't rise. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. But But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them asleep. I want you to think this morning how wonderful Jesus is. I want you to think how wonderful His love is. Not only to endure the cross in my sin, but how wonderful He is to go 3 days where I shouldn't be. I want you this morning to stir within your heart a new passion for His kingdom. I want you this morning to understand if you were the only one, He would have died for you and gone those 3 days. I want you to understand as He walked through Hades and saw the two righteous and the unrighteous, the gulf fixed between them. I want you to know how wonderful He is to have to see His own creation sealed in judgment and have to look at it, hear it. And I want you to see the wonderful Jesus as His smile as He walks to paradise. The one thief with Him. And then greeting all of the saints of old. That's quite a lot in 3 days. From grief to a joy. Only a wonderful Savior. Experience that depth of not only emotion but of reality. You see, the Bible says, "Open up ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in." Jesus in hell for us had to trust God. To raise Him up. He had no power to raise Himself. How many believe you and I have no power to raise ourselves up from the dead? How many believe only God would do that?
Amen.
But death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's not there anymore. People fear death today because they've not met the author of life today. Amen. Death for the believer is a step through a door called eternity.
Amen.
Death for the unbeliever is a step into a spiritual state of death forever. Resurrection morning. All of a sudden, He came back into that tomb. The angel came. He came out. It was over. What a wonderful Savior. Why would you do that for me? Why would you behold all of these? Why would you do that? I don't understand it all. But because of His great love, when He loved us, He did. What is church about? What is preachers about? It's about us preparing to meet our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The resurrection is more than a historical fact. There are people that are atheists. Oh yeah, I guess it came. I'm not sure. There's people that are agnostic. Well, whatever. But guess what? With no Easter bunny that hopped through hell, it was our Savior.
Amen.
You like Easter bunnies? Well, give me a solid chocolate one, I'll eat it. But Easter comes from the word Eshtar, which is the worship of the god of fertility, which is a rabbit. I could have worshipped anything or anybody. I could worship any man or any woman or any denomination. I'm not worshiping anyone but the one who walked through the place I should have been with tears in his eyes as he beheld judgment, with joy in his heart. I'm not worshiping anybody but a Savior that can't. And I refuse to live a careless, reckless Christian life that puts God second or first. Jesus put me first. I'm putting him first. Give him a praise, somebody. Come on, give him a real praise, somebody. And don't go ready to do Sunday morning religion. Jesus paid it all to the idol. His blood still cleanses and still purifies. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care if they're trying to cancel out Jesus Christ. He's closer to me than ever because I need him and I love him. And as we begin to close, if I had the facility, I would make a movie just about the 3 days. I would make it. I would research the scriptures to be accurate what happened there. Or we'll never totally know all that happened. How you fill up 3 days and nights. Did he keep walking? Did he rest? What's there? But I know this. That was as much of him coming out of the tomb than any other one. That was the transition for that angel to come and roll that stone away. So when we live in a society where, well, he rose from the dead, so what? We've lost the meaning because we've lost the understanding. Because we've not dug for fresh revelation. And so people look at it as another day. It's not another day.
Amen.
It's not another day. Can you imagine the people on the side of the judgment when they saw Christ and some of them rejected him when he was alive? Others knew about him. Imagine. Can you imagine Abraham, so the father? And when David saw him, I said to the Lord, sit at my right hand. David wrote about the crucifixion. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine David, the joy as he saw the Christ walking through paradise? One day, we'll share that joy too. He'll be walking towards us, calling a name. The Bible says he's going to give us a white stone with a new name on it. And so when I see him, I don't have to imagine what I'm going to do. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to. I'm going to say thank you. Not only for the cross. Thank you for that 3-day journey. Because of you, I don't have to take that. Your heart towards God, your relationship. On this Resurrection Sunday, there's nothing God can't set you free from. The death, sickness is just definite action. The emotional and mental problems is just death trying to seek into the psyche of your own existence. But Jesus defeated it for everybody. There's no habit. There's no addiction that can grab a hold of you because you defeated death in any aspect. So while we're praying this morning, I'd like you to pray this from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, say it again. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to know you. The power of your resurrection. I believe you went to hell for me. And I thank you. Wonderful Jesus. Make me a witness of the resurrection. Make me a light in this dark world. May your kingdom reign in my heart. I thank you for it. And I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.